Good evening, everyone. My name is Ann Flegger, and I'm the NAWIC Treasurer. Tonight, we're going to be talking about how to prepare a chapter budget. This presentation has been prepared for the National Association of Women in Construction and will be recorded and utilized for training purposes. It will be posted on the national website, Member Center, Toolbox, YouTube channel. By remaining on this conference call, you are giving consent to recording this session. And I'm going to get the slide show started. As mentioned, we're going to talk tonight about preparing a chapter budget. This is a great time of year to start doing that. Chapters should have recently elected their officers, so they knew who the board members are going to be for the next year. The first thing you want to do is you want to get a finance committee, and that should consist of the incoming and outgoing treasurers and presidents, and any others deemed necessary by the chapter. It may be a good idea to also include the immediate past president for their input on past experience. The committee should have at least 3 members, but not more than 6. The role of the finance committee is primarily to provide financial oversight for the chapter. Typical task areas for a small and mid-sized group include budgeting and financial planning, financial reporting, and the creation and monitoring of internal controls and accountability policies. Tonight, I'm going to try and give you some tools and tips to work with budgets and to also be able to monitor it throughout the year. Budgets are a living document, so they can be changed and updated as time goes on. A chapter budget is essential as it transforms money into a tool to achieve goals, align priorities, and fulfill needs. It also gives guidance on spending, and it will communicate your values and expectations for your chapter. As I mentioned, budgets are a living document, but they should be prepared carefully and should realistically reflect anticipated income and expenses based on previous year's experience. Something to keep in mind, income should be on the conservative side, while expenses should be more on the aggressive side. When preparing a budget, it's suggested to use a budget worksheet, so there is a permanent record of how the budget was derived, and to also make notations as to why adjustments from the previous years were made. If you find you have more expenses than you do projected income, you'll need to cut your budget. You may need to delete a planned expenditure or reduce several expenditures to make sure that your budget balances. There is a budget template which can be found on the website. It's actually a new template that we will be discussing further in the presentation. And you want to note any special circumstances that may affect expenditures during the current year. The worksheet should become part of your financial records for that year. That's one nice thing about spreadsheets is you can insert comments and you can also create additional tabs to kind of add to your budget with notes and reasons for how you came to those expenses or income. So now we're going to get into the budget. First, we're going to talk about the income. The following are some items that you may want to consider when looking at your income. What do you think your renewal membership will be? I know on national side, our target is to try and get 85% renewal. How many new members are you going to hope to recruit this year? National typically tries to get 20% growth. So that's something you may want to consider is try to keep in line with national, or maybe you guys want to go a little higher. Maybe you want to go for 99% renewal and 25% growth. And you also want to consider if there's any sponsorships from members and or their companies that you might be wanting to get. On the expenses, some things to consider, you should allow for director's expense if you plan to have her visit your chapter. Typically, if you reimburse her for gas, give her a gas card, or maybe pay for her dinner, and depending on how far she's traveling, maybe look for her a place to stay in a hotel. If your region has a director's and or regional fund, you want to remember to budget your chapter's voluntary contributions. And typically, that's based on the number of members that you have in your chapter most of the time from the previous year, so that should be an easy number for you to calculate. You want to make sure to allow for AMEC expense for your delegates. Something to remember, that chapters are required by our national policy to be represented at AMEC. Many chapters budget a specific amount for the president and delegates to attend. So if your chapter can, you can send more than one person to AMEC. You also want to plan for all or a portion of forum and fall conference expenses for the president to attend and any other members that your chapter may allow for. Membership promotion should be among your largest line items. The membership committee should have funds to allow for inviting guests, membership promotion drives, and literature about your chapter and NAWIC. This is one area that is very important to your chapter's future. Please make sure to provide them ample funds. Make sure to budget funds for the Professional Development and Education Committee to include in speakers' fees or dinner, paying for their dinner in addition to your community events. And just remember, without interesting programs and projects, you can't hope to retain and or attract new members. The bulletin, newsletter, and website will help to keep those members unable to attend a meeting fully informed. You want to make sure that if some of your members don't have email addresses, that you allow for printing and postage to keep them up to date on what's going on in the chapter. Don't forget to budget for any NAWIC pins. This could be a past president's pin to give at the end of the year, or any pins that may be needed for installation or membership pins for new members if you do that. Be sure to include committee, administrative, and hospitality expenses. These expenses are not often big ticket items since many members or their firms absorb the expense for phone calls or postage. But be sure to include something. All members may not be in the position to absorb these expenses, and you don't want to exclude a talented member from volunteering because she can't afford these costs. Committees like Ways and Means, Executive or Industry Appreciation and Scholarship are self-supporting committees in that the revenue brought in for that committee should cover their expenses. There is a budget request form that's located in the newly updated Chapter Treasurer Handbook that can be sent to chapter committees, and we'll go through that handbook towards the end because it's just been posted on the website this week. And on the scholarships, we'll also discuss a little bit more in depth on scholarships for your chapter. If you have special events, you want to make sure that you put costs in there for certificates of insurance. Certain events require those, like if you do a Block Kids event or if you have a casino night. There is a premium, which is the chapter's responsibility. And you can look on the national website. That's at the Member Center Chapters and Membership Forms, and it's under the Special Event Insurance heading. And you want to make sure that if you do budget for the premium that you try to give national, it's safe to give them at least a month ahead of your scheduled activity so they can get the insurance certificate to you. You also want to check with the incoming president to see if she has any special projects that she's planned for the year that will require funding. Now we're going to talk a little bit about the scholarships. If your chapter awards a scholarship directly, then you want to have separate line items. Under the income, you'll have a line item for scholarships and a corresponding line item under expenses for scholarships. In addition to these separate line items, you need to have a separate bank account just for the scholarships. A word of caution, you want to be very careful with awarding the scholarships as well as keeping records on who, how many applied, etc. If you do self-award your scholarships, this may be an opportunity for you to look into NFSF, which is NAWIC Founders Scholarship Foundation, to handle your chapter's scholarships. Some information about NFSF. If the chapter donates the funds to NFSF, you still are going to have separate line items, you're just going to market NFSF scholarships on the income expenses. Affiliated NAWIC chapters, companies, or other interested contributors may award academic scholarships through NFSF. And when you make these contributions, they are tax deductible. If a chapter does solicit funds for by telling your contributors that their contributions are tax deductible as charitable donations, then the money must be raised and kept in a separate bank account on a separate ledger to identify the funds. These monies must be sent to NFSF, which is a 501(a)(3) designated organization. This is necessary in order for donors to take a deduction on their income tax for the year in which they gave money. Chapters can also specify the amount of the awards and submit a check sufficient to cover the scholarship grant and the administration fee to NFSF. The administration fee for the first scholarship through NFSF is $100 and then $25 for each additional scholarship that you're going to award. The minimum scholarship will be administered is $500 with additional increments of $100. And NFSF is recommending, because of the high costs of post-secondary education, to encourage awards of a minimum of $1,000. So for example, if you decide, the chapter decides they're going to do a $500 scholarship, you would submit the check in amount of $600. $500 for the scholarship and $100 for the administrative fee. If you're going to do two $500 scholarships, you would submit the $1,000 for the scholarship plus $100 for the first scholarship and $25 for the second, which would be a total of $1,125. Advantages of awarding a scholarship through NFSF is the donations received can be tax deductible because of foundation status of a 501(a)(3). NAWIC members and families who would not be eligible for scholarships from NAWIC chapters under the current IRS regulations can apply for NFSF administered scholarships. An experienced committee acquainted with a broad variety of schools, programs, and evaluation techniques will handle the administration. And it also gives you an increased base of candidates for your award selection. If you are interested in getting more information about NFSF, please contact Cindy Johnson and refer to Section D of the Operations Manual. So when you're putting together your budget, you also want to make sure that you remember that each chapter is different and may have other committees and expenses that we didn't discuss here. This is kind of just for a basic understanding of income and expenses. I am going to go to the spreadsheet here when I'm done with the PowerPoint so you can see how it's laid out. When you're analyzing, it's very important to remember that at least 50.1% of the operating general administrative expenses must come from member support and or program services. Operating and general administrative expenses such as postage, post office box, your chapter website, if you have a unit to store your records, the newsletter, insurance, corporate filing, just to name a few of them. Insurances such as directors and officers and or other liability insurance is necessary to protect the chapter members. It's been a few years now since National has really been encouraging chapters to not only have directors and officers liability insurance, but to also become incorporated. And I believe most of the chapters that we have across the country are incorporated. But you want to make sure that you keep your status active. And each state has different fees and periodic filings that have to be required that are required to keep it active. So you want to make sure you check with your state and make sure to note when they are due. Member support is such as dues, sponsorship, that's from members and or member companies, and you'll see the difference of that on the spreadsheet when we get to that, and or the program services such as meetings that have industry-related speakers, construction-related seminars, block kids, CAD, things of that sort. Income from event not related to NAWIC's IRS exemption purpose, which is to enhance the success of women in the construction industry, cannot be the majority of funding for chapters expenses. As I mentioned earlier, there is a new budget versus actual spreadsheet to help chapters analyze. And we're going to go through, I'm going to bring that spreadsheet up here so that we can go through a couple of things with it. Just have a couple more slides. Your budget worksheets, comparisons, et cetera, should be retained by the current treasurer who serves as a member of the finance committee and will respond to questions at the time of the budget when it's presented and any that may arise later. Proposed budgets are presented by the finance committee to the board for approval. The budget should be approved by the board that will be utilizing it, and it should be done prior to October 1st. So if you have your installation in September, once the new board is installed, you can set up a meeting either right after installation or between your installation meeting and October 1st to review and approve the budget for that year. That way, as of October 1st, you're ready to go. Something that all board members should remember is their fiduciary responsibilities to act in trust as the responsible parties for the chapter of the obligations of the chapter, always acting in the best interest of the membership as a whole, and review and approve budgets to fulfill the chapter's purpose and strategic plan. Once approved, the board would notify the membership that the budget has been approved and is available for review. It is important to let the members know that the budget is available for review, providing transparency by showing them a tool to achieve goals, align priorities, and fulfill needs, guidance on spending, and communicate expectations. After your budget has been approved, you will want to make sure that you review it at least at mid-year. Some chapters may do it quarterly to determine if anything needs adjustment or maybe if something's changed with your plan of what you're heading for your chapter for that year. I thought this was a cute little cartoon. It says, well, I finished the project on time and on budget. And the lady says, well, that means I've given you too much time and too much money. So you want to, when you're doing budgets, you want to make sure that they're realistic. And again, the income is more on the conservative side, as well as the expenses are on the aggressive side. So I'm going to open up, bring up the spreadsheet, and then I'm also going to open it up. So if anybody has questions while I'm doing this part, I just want to kind of show you the availability of this template that you can download tonight. It is on the national website. So I'm going to go ahead and... Okay, so this spreadsheet, like I said, was just put on the national website this week. And what I've done is I've created, so it's easy for the finance committee to know what is considered member support, what is program services, and what is unrelated business. So I've color-coded them. So member support is yellow, program services blue, and unrelated business is green. Within the spreadsheet, this has typical areas that all chapters might use, but I did offer some additional, as you scroll down, some blank ones, so that if you have specialties for your chapter, you can go ahead and use those fields. You'll just have to know, and there are some tabs with details, more description of why it's yellow, why it's blue, why it's green, and some notes additional to help you if you can't determine which one it is. And if you at any point in time have a question, you're not sure which one it is, you can always reach out to your region director or the national office or myself. So your main revenue, you want to make sure that you have it from dues and or sponsorships from your members or your members' companies. You can obtain sponsorships from non-member companies. Those are just considered part of your program services revenue, not directly member support. So with each one of the columns that there's a revenue description, there's also a column for budget, and you can also be filling in your year-to-date. Somebody have a question? Okay. So for example, I also left blank. It depends on each chapter has different chapter dues. Whenever a new member arrives, every chapter across the country gets $65 for an active or associate member. If it's a corporate member, all chapters get $140, and if it's a student member, all chapters get $10. But upon renewals, that's all determined by the chapter, what the renewal rate is for active, corporate, associate, and student. So I've left blanks here for you to enter in whatever amount your chapter is. So for example, if your chapter maybe has $55 for active, you would just type $55 in there. And actually, I'm going to make it easier. I'm going to make it 50 just so that for calculation purposes. So I'm going to go through and enter some information in just so you can kind of see how the calculation works, because this will add up all of your member support program services unrelated, budgeted, and also actual. So like I said, you can continually use this throughout the year to see where you're at. And then taking those numbers, it's also going to calculate what percentage you're at. So for example, let's say you're going to, and I'm just doing this for numbers, we're just going to go with simple numbers here, that you're going to have four members renew, so you have $200 in the budget, excuse me, for renewed members on the active side. And you're going to get, let's say you're going to get five new members. Whoops. So that's going to be $325. So if you notice down here in the budget revenue, it's adding up what I'm typing in. So we're up to $525. And then let's say you guys are going to have a sponsorship that you're going to send out to local businesses, and you receive $1,000 from member companies, and you receive $2,000 from non-member companies. Okay, and just to bring into the mix of the green, there are fundraisers out there, and a lot of times you may have to ask what it is, but like a fashion show or golf outing that isn't specifically related to raising for your scholarship, things that are not specifically construction related is considered unrelated business income. So maybe you get $500 for that. So as you see here now, we are budgeted $500 for unrelated, $2,000 for program services, and $1,525 for member support. So that's just on the revenue. If you scroll down a little bit further, we'll also have the same correspondence for our expenses with the yellow, the blue, and the green. So advertising would be like your website, newsletter, anything you need to print, things of that sort. Let's say you're going to have $150 in that. And your member meetings, I'm just going to pick a couple of categories here. Actually, I'm going to go down to the PD&E. So with the calendar, and this would help if you kind of know what your meetings are going to be for the year. So if maybe the strategic plan or the board, whoever is in charge of the PD&E committee, has gotten together, you want to probably gather that information from them when you're doing the budget for your PD&E to find out, you know, if there's going to be costs. If you have people coming in and talking, or if you're going to a job site or something like that, if there's any cost related to that at all. So let's just say you're going to have $250 for member-related PD&E, and you're going to have $200 for, like, maybe just other types of PD&E. Sometimes you may have a woman's wellness or things like that. You just don't want to make sure that you focus completely on that. You want to make sure that your meetings are still construction-related opportunities for our members to learn and grow. Okay, and then since we had expenses up under the unrelated business income of $500, we're going to put down here that maybe we had $350 in expenses, so that way we actually only made $150 on that aspect of it. So you're budgeted, you're looking really good, because you're way over, you know, the 50.1% with your revenue. So you're doing really, really good. If this would jump up to, instead of $500, to $5,000, well, and of course, the formula is not working. Okay, let me see if I can do that real quick. Battle of Computers. All the background noise. I think there might be somebody that is maybe in their car or something.
Yeah, because I can't hear anymore.
Okay.
All I'm hearing is...
Well, hold on. I'm going to... Not sure why that was not calculating. Let me do the other side and see if it works better. Okay, well, I'm not sure why it's not working right. Does it work for me the other day? But what I'll do is I'll look into this and I'll get a new one updated. But the concept is that as long as this number here for your actuals says 50.1% or more, then you're in the clear. And you could read it by starting with your budget to see if you're in there. But then as the year goes on, you can change your numbers, you know, however you want to do that. So, again, I apologize. I'm not sure why. I don't know if it's because the numbers I'm putting in are way out of there. But I will make sure to get that corrected for everybody. Sorry about that. On the accounts detail tab, as I mentioned, it kind of gives just a little bit more description about why it's what color it is. And then on the notes tab, it just gives you some examples of what is what fundraisers and things of that sort that are considered unbusiness related income. So I'm going to unmute. Does anybody have any questions on that part? Any questions?
Go back to the part on the meeting expenses that you had for the speakers and stuff?
Yes.
I can't read what that was under professional development. You've got one that's member supported and one that's program supported. What's the difference between those two?
The one that's the yellow is just members attending. The one in blue would be maybe you're trying to recruit members, so you have a special meeting for not that includes non-members as well.
Okay.
That would be the difference. It depends on by who the majority of it, who's in attendance. If the majority of them are guests, it would actually be program services because they're not members. So it's not considered a member supporting expense.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions? I was going to go through and show you a couple features of the Treasurer's Handbook. If nobody had any questions on this or the presentation, if anybody had questions on the presentation as well. Okay, I'm going to bring up the Treasurer's Handbook. This is was just posted this week on the national website, and the layout, in addition to the updating, has been changed. The current PR marketing committee came up with a template for handbooks, and we're trying to get them all converted. Something else that is available in this handbook, as well as we're going to try and do in the other handbooks, is embedded links to websites and also to pages. So, for example, if you're looking, I'll bring this up a little bit, the table of contents, if you're looking to learn some information about scholarships, you would just scroll down until you come to the scholarships, chapter scholarships, and anything that's blue and underlined, if you click on it, it automatically takes you to that page. So if you're just looking for chapter scholarships, you would click that instead of having to scroll down through the whole page. Something else that's added in this handbook is there are the forms that are needed to be used by the treasurer are at the end of the handbook, and there are fillable forms, and there are some updated forms in here for you. The only one that is not part of this handbook is that template that I said, because it's a spreadsheet, and it was hard to do that. So we were mentioning in the presentation about the budget request. So here on page 36 is the budget request. So if that's what you're looking for, you would just click on that. It automatically brings you down to the budget expense, and you can put your chapter name in here. I'm just going to pick a chapter, and I'm not sure the number. I'll just put 1, 2, 3, 4. You can put in when your due date is. Maybe you say you want everything by August 15th. And then whoever the finance committee chair is, could be the incoming treasurer. We'll just put Jane Doe, and then you fill in her information. Then you can pull this page, just this page, right out from the handbook and send it out to your chapter. So if you're familiar with PDF, you just right-click and extract the page. And then you can send it out to your committees to fill out. And they would put in their information. If they know what their budget was last year, they would put that in. That kind of helps you with guidance. If not, I'm sure the current year treasurer would have that information. And then how much they're asking for. If they have a couple different projects that they're working on, they would have a line for each one of those projects and give a description of what they're needing it for. And then you'll want to put the contact information for the finance committee chair. So that's one of the forms that's available in the handbook. Also in the handbook is the ACH credit payment authorization. A couple years ago, National started sending direct deposits for all dues. If at any point in time your chapter changes banks, you want to make sure you fill this form out and send it in, or the money will be put into the wrong bank or maybe just get lost in the bank world somewhere. There's also, if you're just starting your account or you want to change things around, you're going computerized, maybe there's a sample chart of accounts that's available in the handbook. Something that's new this year, with the times changing, that credit and debit cards are becoming more utilized. At mid-year, the board created a credit debit card EFT, which that would include PayPal, Square D, anything like that, policy and use agreement that should be implemented for anybody that has a credit card for the chapter in their name or has access to PayPal or anything like that. And it should be, you should do this on a yearly basis. That'd be something to do maybe at your first board meeting. But it has the use agreement, and then it also has that the board adopts, and then also has for individuals to sign if they have anything in their name. So it's a two-page report there. There's also an expense reimbursement form. I tried to tie this in with the spreadsheet, giving the categories to kind of help out and make it a little easier for the treasurer to fill out this information. And they should always staple or attach receipts, detailed receipts. The credit card bank statement does not qualify as a receipt. It needs to be detailed. So they can put whatever category they need it for. There's a bunch of them here, and I even put a miscellaneous and then, you know, do their total. And then there's an area at the bottom. If it's approved in the budget, it's still a good thing to either have your audit committee, your finance committee, or the board just, you know, review as expenses are coming through, just so everybody's aware of what's going on. Good practice to start doing. And we also have the IRS compliance form. to make things a little bit easier this year, we actually put the what full year it will entail. So this one is going to be from 10 of 2016 to 9/30 of 2017. If anybody needs this, there's a chapter transfer form. If you have chapters that are moving or members that are moving from one chapter to the other, the transfer form is done by the chapter that the member is in right now. And I also created a link here. This is going to show you. It should bring it up for me. I have to share my internet here real quick. Okay, so when I clicked that, it brought it right up to the section that it was talking about in the operations manual. You just need to make sure when you're using those that you are, you know, have internet, because obviously they won't work if you don't have internet. There's also a template treasurer's report in there that you can also fill in all the information if you don't currently have one that you're using. I also added in the record retention and document destruction policy that the board approves every year, but it's good for the treasurer to have a record of it just for their, you know, to see when they can start purging things if need be. And those are all the forms that we have available in the treasurer's handbook. There are quite a bit of links to, you know, when you're talking about the IRS compliance, we have links to forms, to instructions, things of that sort, depending on what area your chapter falls under. It's usually the 990. When you first download this handbook, it may take just a little bit to download because there is, you know, links and pictures and things like that in here. So, but it should, once you've got it downloaded, it'll work great for everybody. So, anybody have any questions about any of that?
And I'm sorry, it's Laleen. I was on late, and I didn't get to see where was the template, the Excel spreadsheet template that the budget was created, the first one. Where was that located?
Yeah, the first one that I got fixed.
Yeah.
Okay. It's under chapters, chapter officer tools.
Okay.
And then we just, if you had remembered, there was a bunch of stuff here under chapter treasurer. We tried to consolidate it so you could go to one or two places just to get everything that you needed. So since the budget template is an Excel spreadsheet, I didn't want to put that in the handbook. So you just click that, and it will go ahead and download it for you. It'll actually download the form. You just save it wherever you need to. Okay, well, my contact information is on National's website. If you have any questions afterwards, and